is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one.
The investigators tell us it seems the suspect was going to pass them, then turned and fired.
Christine, Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations.
I rise to support the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump.
And I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it and have leverage over him.
Welcome back to Information Operation. We're here with Aubrey Killian. I think I said that right. Thanks for coming on, Aubrey. He is an attorney in South Africa and now is living in Canada and is being admitted to the bar there, but is a spokesman for Boer Independence. And we're honored to have him on the show today. Thank you for joining us.
Well thought. Thank you very much for having me and welcome to all your listeners. And I just want to say welcome to all the Americans out there.
Yes. So where are you in Canada, by the way?
I'm presently living in just about 3 hours north of Toronto in Ontario, but we'll be relocating shortly to Alberta, where I'll be admitted to the bar.
Excellent. Well, this is about South Africa. You know, I've known, we met you through John B. Wells and Brindy. I've known them for a long time. We've interviewed her several times about what's going on in South Africa. But what fascinates me are the parallels that we're seeing in America and the West to what happened before and is continuing to happen in South Africa. Let's start there. Can you talk about that and we'll go from there?
Well, regarding the parallels being drawn, I do believe South Africa was a bit of a testing ground for Marxist socialist ideology to be implemented in the West, very subtly through DEI and all these programs that we got used to in the West to usurp standards, merits. Everything that the West was built upon, just mm-hmm. to usurp that and gradually just get you used to Marxist ideology.
That's very obvious. I think a lot of Americans haven't, until now, woken up to that because they thought they were doing the right thing. They're helping the oppressed, mm-hmm. and they use that same tactic in South Africa, right? I mean, to kind of take down Western civilization by using the feelings maybe or guilt or whatever that people had toward the racist issue. Am I right or wrong?
That's right. And once again, this is us being led by emotion rather by logic. Yes. And so we see especially the legacy of Nelson Mandela really coming forward and bearing fruits within South Africa and across the West, where we mm-hmm. see absolute, as I mentioned earlier, a complete disregard for meritocracy, a complete disregard for what is done logically, and just being led by emotions to establish this false virtue based upon mm-hmm. absolute false premise of what people believe moral values are.
So I don't think Americans, at least, understand actually what's happened, the destruction that's gone on in your country. I used to do a lot of business in Cape Town and Joburg, and a couple decades ago, you could start to see there's just decline of the nation and of its infrastructure and of its institutions. You know, Joburg used to be, in Cape Town especially, beautiful cities, but in many ways that has been destroyed. Am I right? I mean, through a slow process that we're seeing in the West as well.
Absolutely. We see a complete destruction of infrastructure in South Africa. But it starts with destruction of the culture of success. Mm-hmm. And we then see this trickling all down to grassroots levels, where we see a destruction of infrastructure. And we see Johannesburg, Cape Town, all these rural areas just loosening up at the seams, mm-hmm. because, you know what, we're putting people in positions that aren't able to do the work. We're putting people in positions that are pushing an agenda. And unfortunately, a beautiful country like South Africa is just going to the dogs, unfortunately.
Yeah. So with the crash in D.C. and with other issues, you know, there was the destruction, I think, of a $120 million ship in New Zealand, where the crew was DEI hires, essentially, or at least the leadership. But the crash recently in D.C. has really highlighted this DEI issue and putting people, as you say, in positions who aren't skilled or able to do the positions, and lowering standards incrementally. Can you give us some incidents in South Africa of how that was done so people may see the parallels?
Well, I don't know if I can point at one specific incident, because there were so many of these. But yeah. we see this especially back in the 1990s when most of the directors were appointed, and we see this in political positions. We mm-hmm. saw Jacob Zuma, the previous president, as well as even Cyril Ramaphosa, though very smart man, just incompetent in running a country, just not a mm-hmm. statesman at all. Mm-hmm. But in general, we see this being pushed where the arms deal in South Africa, everything was just set up in a manner to line people's own pockets rather than really thinking what is best for the country, committing themselves to contracts that would just benefit, once again, the cadres and their international affiliates, but to absolutely at the expense of the taxpayer in South Africa. And you know, South Africa is rich of minerals. It's rich with potential. The unfortunate part is that these guys are seeking to destabilize South Africa, similar like they've done all the way up in Africa, because a destabilized Africa is easily manipulated, and it's easy then to extort these populations, these mm-hmm. countries, to enrich themselves with their with the minerals that Africa has to produce. And South Africa has produced 65% of the world's gold ever mined. For instance, you've rich in uranium, platinum, diamonds. It's mm-hmm. it's all about resources.
So do you think that's the end goal? Because I mean, what if you destroy a country and you destroy its infrastructure? Who wins, right? Is it the oligarchy that just, you know, makes these people serfs and then they just rape the country for resources, as you say, or is it depopulation? I mean, what do you think is the end goal in South Africa specifically?
I think the end goal is for South Africa to be subtly controlled by the Chinese to enrich their industrial growth and expansion. We've seen South Africa being involved for the last almost 20, 25, 30 years in a bit of a mineral war. And China has been winning. China has been taking control out of strategic points within South Africa, military bases. We've seen airports being taken over because the countries that they lent money to were unable to pay these back. And so what now happens is that the Chinese, to control over the strategic infrastructure and it to their own benefit. And unfortunately, Americans have been for so long just so fixated on their own domestic issues mm-hmm. that we see that they're losing their battle. They had a strong alliance with the South Africans decades ago. That's non-existent anymore. Mm-hmm. But and so what they have now is they have rogue nations that are colluding against the United States and its agenda,
and against Western civilization. I would add
absolutely.
What about you're a Boer advocate? Talk to people may not understand that concept. Tell us the history there if you can, the 30,000 foot view, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, we as Boers, we're a culture that developed in South Africa from the minor aristocrats that came to South Africa from Europe, and some of them came for economic opportunities. Some fled to South Africa because of religious persecution after the Edict of Nantes was repealed and the Knight of Bartholomew. So a lot of Protestants that fled to South Africa. We always say that the criminals went to Australia. The lower mid-class and indentured servants went to North America, but the minor aristocrats had the opportunity to pay passage that came to South Africa. And in South Africa, they amalgamated to become the Boers, a proto-German culture group, very strong in their religious ideology, but very strong biblically orientated to such an extent that even your Theodore Roosevelt had extensive comments about the Boers and how he was so impressed with the Boers. But the Boers was very driven to for independence. They recognized they're the first culture or European culture group or settler culture group in the world that recognized the independence and the sovereignty and self-determination of indigenous peoples. And then obviously that pitted them against British jingoism that wanted to establish the railway from Cape Town to Cairo. And those Boers were just in the way. That led into the first two Boer wars, the first won by the Boers, the second unfortunately lost by the Boers, but saw the decline of British Empire across the whole globe. And then further on, it then developed into what we have, the second and World Wars, Korea, and then obviously the Boers wanted to take back their independence.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
The history of apartheid was driven by the Afrikaners, a brother culture group to the Boers. And what we have today, still that drive, that independence drive, that love for freedom, that love for hunting, reading your Bible, not having anybody tell you what your limits are, that still lives on in the spirit of the modern day Boer today.
Interesting, interesting. Almost similar to, as you said, some of the American settlers hundreds of years ago. So
yes,
that spirit still exists in some parts of the United States. But what's the future of South Africa? What do you see happening? I mean, it's really a failed state almost at this point. But is there an opportunity for Boer independence, or what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I hope that people, the different ethnic groups and culture groups, are able to come to some resolution and say, listen, you're as a tier federalist state, we are able to make South Africa a success. I hope that. I pray for that. I do not pray for conflict. I do not hope for conflict. I do hope that people can set aside their difference and say, listen, you're based upon a unified idea, we are able to make South Africa work. Mm-hmm. However, if I look at the facts at this present moment in South Africa, it is clear that South Africa, that leadership and the elites in South Africa seek to destabilize South Africa to such an extent that it's to their benefit to pit culture groups and ethnic groups against each other, because within this chaos, they're able to take control and extort once again the citizens of South Africa to benefit themselves and enriching themselves with the mineral resources. So yeah, if South Africa continues down the path it is today, I cannot help to see civil war. I will be sad because it's always the innocent that suffer from civil war, the woman, the children, and from both and from all ethnic groups, not just one ethnic group. I don't think it's beneficial, but unfortunately, looking at what we're seeing happening today, that seems to be something on the horizon, because unlike the Rhodesians, unlike the Ugandans, unlike every other East Indian and Caucasian culture group up north in Africa, the Boers have nowhere else to go. And we stand with our backs against both the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean.
Yeah. So Trump is getting involved to some extent. Do you think that will be helpful or to draw attention, or where do you think that goes?
Definitely. I think Trump's involvement is based upon U.S. interest protectionism. I mean, why would we fund countries? Why would Trump fund countries that aren't amicable to U.S. International relationships? Why would the states even, as I said, fund South Africa to just see it work better together with the other BRICS countries and not accept the dollar? Now, obviously, we have that just opens up a way bigger discussion. But what I want to focus here on is, I think Elon Musk plays a significant role here, being from South Africa himself, and really getting the opportunity to work with a governance system that is efficient, and that we've seen this happening since Trump has become president. Mm-hmm. But I think what's happening here is, you know, the African leaders are very quick to remind the West about their independence and that they will not be held on a leash for anything other than their own benefit. Mm-hmm. And now Trump has said, well, in that case, you know, you're going to support BRICS and not us. And obviously you want your independence, so we will give it to you, independence, generate the capital yourself and look after your own people. The irony is that all these funding that has been provided to South Africa over the years don't actually reach the people that it's intended to be given to. And so we see once again, it's politicians lining their own pockets at the expense of the citizenry.
Interesting. Where do the Boers stand now? Is the white genocide still happening?
Oh, goodness. The white genocide, absolutely. The white genocide is still continuing. It's a very low-key genocide. It's so subtle that some individuals will not call it genocide. But if you look at the statistics and if you look at Genocide Watch's classifications of the Boer genocide presently happening, it's a genocide happening nevertheless. The fact of the matter is that the Boers are at this moment consolidating. They're seeking their independence. But I think once again, I think the Boers feel a little at this moment, I've for so long hoped that the West will come to their aid. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that did not happen, and so we see that the Boers are now left at their own device, and at this moment they're just preparing for the inevitable. I think they're preparing for the complete collapse, so that the post-apocalyptic situations that will be created, that they increase their survivability during such a potential event.
Interesting. So I know that Russia stepped in and offered the people to come up there and resettle. Is that been a real offer? Have people taken advantage of it? I've seen some, but do you know anything about that?
Yes. So the Russia did offer to for some of the Boers and Afrikaners and some of the farmers to move to some
Siberia,
areas.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, Siberia. The only thing is, as I said, and as much as we farmland is farmland, but I mean Siberia is a tough area.
It's a different place. Oh,
yeah, and you got to be a Russian to survive Siberia and the Ural Flats. The thing with this is in as much as it's an opportunity, we need to understand it's the same question we can ask an American to say, listen, your father's forefathers bled. Mm-hmm. And you're answerable to the blood that they spilled upon American soil. Are you just gonna forsake that? Any American, a true patriotic American, will tell you you're out of your mind. And so the same situation with the Boers. I mean, we've bled. Our tears are in that soil. Mm-hmm. Our loved ones that preceded us is in that soil.
Sure.
And my time in Canada is also just a temporary one. So in that, we cannot just forsake and say we will just move somewhere else and find another future for ourselves. No, our future, the soil of Africa, especially South Africa, is in our blood, and eventually we will return to the soil we became from.
So last question, you're in Canada. What do Canadians think about Trump's rhetoric at this point? The tariffs, the 51st state, all of that. What are you hearing on the ground there?
Well, at this moment, it's a very much 50-50 situation. We have about 50% of the Canadians that would love to be part of the states, present company included. But then they've got, obviously, the more typical British imperialists that would like to see Canada to maintain its sovereignty. It's very much a coin toss. But the thing with what I see is I think it's also a very unfair question to ask at this present moment, because the anti-Trudeau rhetoric, once again, just raises up unfortunate emotions. And when somebody is very emotional, you cannot trust that they make a proper discernment and decision. However, a lot of the more conservative Canadians are enjoying what they see down south. I think one thing that Trump is breaking for everybody is that it's breaking the perceptions of inefficient government. Professor Jordan Peterson has spoken that, in his opinion, that government should be reasonably inefficient at the benefit of its citizenry. The situation is just, once again, a point of reference is that we've seen for 120 years inefficient governments across the world because of inefficient individuals in these positions. And so Trump, what he's doing is he's got an excellent team behind him. He's building the United States. Once again, I believe it's going to herald the golden age for the U.S. Sure. But what's going to happen is everybody else is going to measure their leadership, and they should, against that which Trump is establishing at this moment. And but once again, coming back to Canada, don't take Canadian politics for what it is, because the Conservatives, I mean, we see Pierre Poilievre here and at this moment, he's a strange conservative, because a lot of his employment and health issues are very much Bernie Sanders light. So we shouldn't just take that for him being a conservative. No, he's a strange mix between socialism and conservatism. But Justin Trudeau, yep, no, your time's over.
Time to go. Where can people follow you, Aubrey?
Well, I am on X. I'm on X. I'm very active on Facebook. Most of the time I have a passion for biblical families. I believe that at the core of any successful country and state is the discipline of the individual to govern himself or herself, and then be part of healthy families, because healthy families will produce healthy children, and it will produce a healthy future for the country. So I'm really big in this reestablishing patriarchy to ensure that patriarchy once again becomes a primary thing, because patriarchy keeps men responsible and protects women from themselves as well as external forces. But at the same time, there's a healthy symbiotic relationship that exists between men and women, and we need that to ensure that a country has a future. So I am active on both X, on both Facebook, and you'll find some now and then my face pop up on YouTube.
Aubrey, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed it. We'll have you back down the road as things progress.
Thank you, Todd. Have a wonderful day, and blessings to our brothers down south. Take care.
Take care. Ciao.